actions are required to access the glory. That's what I want to talk to us today, to all of you today, that our actions are required. There is something for us to do in order to access the realm of glory. Okay, like we have to understand that when we walk with Christ, we walk in a partnership with Christ. Even just salvation, there's an action that's required for you to receive salvation, right? You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So then therefore what? You are saved, right? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Both you and your household, by the way. Both you and your household. What a promise. Acts 16:31, correct? Right? There's something that needs to be done, an action that we need to do in order to receive or access the realm of glory. Amen? And so let's dig into the word a little bit and find out what that might be. Amen? Two specific stories I'm going to touch on today. One is Mary and Martha. You guys remember the story of Mary and Martha and Lazarus? Well, they had to do something to see the glory of God rescue their dead brother. They actually had to do something to access the glory. They had to do something. And we will also look at Peter, James, and John when Jesus was transfigured. Peter, James, and John caught a glimpse of the glory from the other side, here on this side. But they had to do something to receive or to access the glory. They saw Jesus in his glory, and they were commanded to access God's glorious presence. Glory, his glory, is something that you can only behold when it manifests externally and internally. Doesn't always have to be visible. The glory of God is exploding even right now on the inside of me. I'm beholding the glory even as I'm speaking to you. It's manifesting. It's a stirring unto him and continually manifesting right now, and has been this whole time that we have gathered, externally as well as internally. John 1 and 14, this is what the word of the Lord says. It says, and the word, meaning Jesus, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And the word that became flesh, being Jesus, dwelt amongst us, is amongst us right now. And it says, and we beheld his glory. We are beholding the glory of Jesus. It says, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We beheld his glory. We are called to behold the glory of God. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew 17. So in Matthew 17, verses 1 through 9, I'm going to read it to you first, then we're going to get into it. It says, now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he, meaning Jesus, was transfigured. That means it was a visible transformation. That means there was something visible that they all saw. Jesus was transfigured on the mount. The Mount of Transfiguration. So he, Jesus, was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. There was something visible, there was something tangible, there was something that they all saw. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. And then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud. Out of the cloud, the voice speaks, as it did even when Jesus was baptized, which is the power and the presence and the voice of God. He says, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, overshadowed these believers, these Christians that walked with Jesus. But there was a whole new level of Christianity, so to speak, that they were experiencing here on this mount. The others weren't there, and they didn't experience this, but these 3 did. Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. which is the same thing he said when he was baptized. And he said, hear him. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and they were greatly afraid. The power of the voice of God, God's voice was so powerful, so majestic, it literally caused these disciples of Christ to fall on their faces. It says, they fell on their faces and they were greatly afraid, but Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but only Jesus. When they lifted up their eyes, the voice of God, as the voice hovered and spoke out of the cloud, gave them the instruction as to what to do to access the glory. And he said, hear him. Number one, we must hear. If you want to access, and we should all want to access the realm of God's glory, we need to fine-tune our ears to hear him, hear what Jesus has to say. There are too many Christians that just go in and on their own strength. They're going in on their own strength because they think they've got it. That's the problem. It's in Christ that is our victory. It's in Christ when we walk in sync with Christ, when we don't depend on our natural abilities, but we are solely and completely dependent upon our need for Christ, and it's in Christ, the hope of glory. We don't just assume we know the answers, or we don't just, and if you think you do, you're being set up by yourself for a failure, because it will never produce fruit that lasts. It's when we're dependent upon Christ, in him, hear him. He said, hear him, hear him. It's in your weakness that you're made strong in Christ as you yield to him, right? So he says, hear him. The glory cloud overshadowed them. Just when in Luke, when the announcement came, the angel came and told her, you're going to have a son. That cloud of glory was present and overshadowed this young girl. Your action is required to access the realm of God's glory. It's truth. It's his truth. The truth of God. Just as Peter's shadow. What happened with Peter's shadow, when it just came and it was like a cloud, it was a shadow, but it was still the presence of God. That the presence of God just came and touched people, and they were healed simply because there is power in the glory. Amen. It's the power of God in the glory. And some people are so receptive and so hungry for it, you just have to walk right on by them and they receive it. And others are a little harder and it just takes a little more time, or time times time, multiple times. In other words, just is going to take a little longer. And that's all right, as long as you just keep on pressing in, because layer after layer, they're coming down, coming off of you, and your understanding for what I'm speaking about is becoming more apparent, more clear, and you have a hunger for what you didn't have a hunger for before. I know when the glory releases and comes forth out of me and touches somebody and they receive it, and I also know when the glory comes out of me and it just bounces right on back. And like I said, it's okay as long as we continue to press in and say, God, I may not know everything she's talking about. Sometimes it sounds a little different, but teach me. As long as there's a teachable spirit, as long as you stay with a hungry, teachable heart, God will reveal to you what is his greater glory. Amen? Amen. Amen. So this is really important, the transfiguration, because Jesus' face was shining. It was bright and shining. It says his face and his clothes, they shine a brilliant white light. How many of you know that that was supernatural? That was a supernatural move of God. And how many of you know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? How many of you know that if we would just hunger and thirst for the things of Christ, that he would reveal to us everything that is in heaven and not lack one thing?
Because of faithful partners like you, we are now in so many homes throughout the world, north, south, east, and west. God is expanding this ministry. I am just in awe. I wanted to take a moment right now and just thank you and encourage you as you continue to sow your seed. And for some of you, prayerfully consider becoming partners with us at this ministry, because lives are being changed. People are getting saved, healed, and delivered. Men and women of God are being fostered up, being raised up to stand for truth. So partner with us on a monthly basis as the Lord leads, because the seed that you sow in the ground is for the eternal purposes of God. Amen. God bless you. Let's get back to it.
Not one thing would be lacking. He wants to deliver all of it. What happened? Jesus literally changed in their very presence. He became a different form. They saw a different form. Don't you know that God is multifaceted and he wants to show you his incredible beauty, his provision, his answers? They're all found when you're in the glory. That's why, Sherry, you heard something from God in the glory, and so did I. And when I spoke it out, you said, that's exactly what God said. Why? In the glory. God's speaking, and it's easy. It's like picking fruit, right? Ripe fruit, that is. So he transformed right before their eyes. They caught a glimpse. You've got to see something here, because the disciples caught a glimpse of Jesus from the other side, but on this side. They saw him differently. They walked with him, but this time they saw him differently. God wants to give you a glimpse of what's on the other side, even when you are right here on this side. He wants to reveal to you what is already ours, so that we walk in it, so that we have a hunger for it, so that we have an expectation for it, so that we become stronger as believing believers that carry his name, so that we walk with an understanding that the supernatural realm is all ours, fully, more than we carry today, more than we carry today. He wants to increase that in us. Amen? So we need to have that. We need to have, as we hear his voice, because that's the access, that's the key to access that glory realm, he will show you glimpses of what is on the other side, but on this side, so that you bring it here. Instruction, wisdom, the tangible love of God, everything that you need is there. It's present. Your healing. He speaks one word, releases you, heals you, transforms you. You get one glimpse of who he is, and you're changed, empowered, strengthened, emboldened. One glimpse. They got one glimpse of Jesus shining this beautiful white light. What do you think that did to these three individuals? A lot. What is God doing every time we gather? So much, that is even hard to put into words sometimes. It's very beautiful. It's very, and right now, David, just keep letting God move, because he's touching you in that realm. He's receiving it in his spirit, man. What I'm saying is not even just being received in his natural abilities and his ears. It's received in his spirit, man, as it should all of us. But see, he's ready. He's so ready. He's like, yes, this is what I was called for. Yes, it's like feeding someone that is hungry. It's like pouring water on an area that's dry. That's how our hearts can be sometimes. And he just fills us. He fills us. Not only did they see a glimpse of the other side on this side, but that cloud overshadowed them, and they fell. They fell at Jesus' feet, because the power of God has enough supernatural strength to knock us over when that's necessary, right? And that's why you're like, my goodness, this thing, we just welled up. Yeah, this thing is the Spirit of God. It's his presence. It's his power. It's the person of Jesus. And he wells up on the inside of you, just like a flood just starts to rise up within you. And all of us know what that means. Most of us know what this is, right? And because we've experienced it time and time again. But this is the presence of God. It gets mocked. It gets ridiculed. People don't understand it, and that's okay. Maybe you didn't understand it at one point. I didn't understand it at one point many years ago when I was first saved. But I'll tell you, it is the presence of God welling up on the... you get overtaken. Have you ever been overtaken by his love? Like you're just so... just like saturated. You're just overwhelmed. It's overwhelming with the realization of how much he loves you, right? And what he has done for you and his, and your family. It's like overwhelming. But the same is true when his presence comes upon you like this. The Spirit of Christ starts to well up on the inside of you. You know this is supernatural. You know you're being changed. There's an impartation that you are receiving. You know it. Thank you, Lord. So they were overshadowed by that cloud, and they fell because the presence of God was powerful. God's presence is so powerful. And he said, this is my beloved son. What is the instruction? Hear him. Hear him. We are commanded to hear him. We're going to access the glory realm as we hear him. Amen? And so in Ephesians 3:10, it says the manifold wisdom of God, that it might be made known to the church. And I had this scripture for us on our last service, but I felt it was important that we needed to re-look at this scripture. Because when it says the church, you could put your name in there because you are the church. So the manifold wisdom of God, in other words, the many dimensions of God's power. When I say the manifold wisdom, I'm talking about the many dimensions of God's power. Let's look at this scripture with that understanding. The manifold wisdom, or the many dimensions of God's power, that it would be known by you, each one of you, the church, to the powers and principalities. Who did God set in place to walk in a position of power and authority but us? He didn't set anyone else other than his created ones that he made in his image. We are the ones that are supposed to tell powers and principalities how it's supposed to go, and not the other way around. And that's your realm of authority. And the more you understand the glory and how glory and authority work hand in hand, you see what truly a beautiful gift God has given us when he said, I have chosen you. I have chosen you before the foundations of the earth. I've chosen you. I've fashioned and formed you. When you were, before even you're in your mother's womb, I knew you. You see what a gift this really is. So the manifold wisdom of God may be known by the church to the principalities and to the powers. That means you are to tell the devil, the enemy, how things are supposed to go, not it telling you and transforming and corrupting everything in your family's lives. Stealing and thievery. No. That's why I always say we're going to take back what belongs to us, because the manifold wisdom of God lives on the inside of us, and we understand it's our job as the church to tell principalities and powers, no, you can't have our families. No, I've got the power and the supernatural wisdom of God. I've been given the access to the realm of glory. And that's where things change. And so we need an understanding of this. We need a revelation of this, not just an understanding. We need a revelation of this. When we have a revelation of this, we truly cause the change that we were called to cause through the name of Jesus. Amen? So important. See, God's glory reveals his power. It's not just, like I've told you before, it's not just this feel-good feeling. His glory reveals his power. And God is jealous over us and over his own. Jealous over us. And every time I cast out spirits of pain, spirits of sickness, spirits of disease, under the anointing, that is a display of God's glory. Lord, help us to understand deeper the display of your glory, that we would not take for granted or not even give you the honor that is due your name when we see this time after time after time. Let us not just grow accustomed to it without the awe of God welling up on the inside of us each and every time. Let's go to our other reference, which is in John. Just go to John 11 right now. Because his glory was present at the death of Lazarus to show the devil that he has no lasting power when a believer stands his ground. Glory and power, glory and authority. Are you getting the picture? Because it works hand in hand, and your actions are required to access this realm. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he said to those that were there, he said, did I not say you would see the glory of God if you believed? Do you guys remember Jesus saying that? Did I not say you would see the glory? Did I not say you were going to see the glory? Lazarus was dead for 4 days. The tomb was secured, church. He was dead. Good as dead, dead. Yet the glory of God changed even what was sealed as permanent. What kind of power is this glory? What kind of power is contained in this glory when what was permanently sealed as death wasn't really permanent when the glory showed up? That means those difficult, horrendous places that seem hopeless in your lives, what you need is revelation of the glory. Because what seems so permanent and so done, so gone, so lost is not lost when God says, my glory will show up and chains will fall off and the dead will be raised again. Death could not hold this man in the grave. Not when the glory was shining forth. But Mary and Martha had to do something. And those that were there had to do something in order to see that glory. Faith is always has an action component. They had to have faith. And they actually had to move the stone. He said, roll away the stone. And those that were present rolled away the stone. Let's look at John 11 and 38. John 11, 38. Then Jesus again, groaning. In himself. Right there is the power stirring within this man. This man, Christ Jesus. That's what takes place in us too. Just before God's going to move through you in a way of power, there's a groaning that starts to take place on the inside of you. Have you already observed this in your own lives? Some of you have. Some of you haven't. But you will. Then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave. And a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. There was an action. It was a command to the living. This was a command to those that were living. It's a command to us. We are living. Take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench. He's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not say that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Hallelujah. Did I not say, and God is saying that to us as well, did I not say that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? What was the glory? The glory was about ready to raise somebody from the dead. The glory is power. The glory is the power of God. So verse 41, then they took away the stone. They did their part. They moved in faith. They took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. If Jesus, while he walked on earth, lifted up his eyes and communicated with the Father during such a critical time, getting his instructions from him and making sure that step by step he was in sync with the Father, shouldn't we as well? Hear him. This is my beloved son. Hear him. That was our first point when the transfiguration. Hear him. Here we are now. Do what he calls you to do. Roll the stone away. Action. There's an action step. Thank you, Father, that you have heard me. Verse 42. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I say this, that they may believe that you sent me, teaching us by his example that we should do the same. And now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice. And he said these things. He cried out. He said, Lazarus, come forth. He didn't beg and please and plead with God. He didn't beg. He didn't do any of that. He just issued the command, come forth. And we issue that command right now. Come forth to the areas that are stolen. Children living in sin, come forth. Arise, children, loved ones that are sick, lying on a deathbed, arise, come forth in the light of Christ. Parents that refuse to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. Family members that would rather mock you instead of understand or ask questions in a genuine fashion. Awaken, awaken, come forth to the light of Christ. That's what's needed. Verse 44, and he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, but he came out. Step one, he came out. Bound, but he came out. His face was wrapped with a cloth, and Jesus said, loose him and let him go. At another command, another part of God's glory was revealed, the manifested presence of God, manifold presence, the manifold presence of God. Right here we see it literally causing a dead man to come out of what seemed completely done, permanent. But yet God said, not on my watch, not when I release my glory. When I release my glory, even what's dead will come to life. When a thievery, this was a thievery. Lazarus should not have died. It was a thievery. It wasn't his time. There's been a lot of things that have been lost. It's not God. You can't take the posture that many Christians do take. Well, God will work it out. And that's a very passive way of living. Jesus didn't live that way, and he didn't model that, did he? Very, very much the opposite. And he understood what was of the Father and what should have been rightfully his and what should have been rightfully Lazarus's. And he says, oh, no, that was a thievery. So we're not going to just have this complacent response when God says, I've called you to access realms of glory, which means realms of power. Come forth. Hear me. Come forth. Do what you're supposed to do and issue those commands. And you will see the manifested glory of God in your very lives, which means the miracles of God. This was an incredible miracle. This was an incredible miracle. But it wasn't incredible, meaning that this was a one and done. Everything that God does is incredible. The fact that he gives us breath every day to breathe is incredible. It's all incredible. But God wants to do so much more. He's looking for our faith to rise up and to partner with what he's already said. And some of you know what I'm talking about, and you do this. For those that fit in that category, the Lord wants to strengthen you and encourage you to keep on moving forward, mighty soldier in Christ. And keep your zeal for the Lord and your fervor for Christ and never give up. And know that God is working mighty, mighty miracles in and through you, in and through you. So we're going to put action to our faith to see that realm of glory. And he is calling us up higher and higher and higher. And it is the glory that changes us. Father.